about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hey, wanna hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Guys! Guys! Guys!
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio or something?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the first commercial radio broadcast from KDKA in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I'm your host, Jebediah Ryder. And KDKA, it's a very long time fan. Hope you be it. Some now good time good. Music.
And now.
I have a half hour to go, and I'm going to do that half hour because I'm a pro. That's what pros do. I'm a professional. Look it up in the book.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, the 24th of November. Where's Nick Pagliocchini?
Nick is on vacation, and I'm here filling in
Lisa.
For him. This is Lisa, so I'll be here with you all week.
We have a stupid girl doing our traffic. I don't know if I can get used to that.
I know. That sucks, right?
Where's my Nick?
Nick is sexy.
Hey, senorita. Welcome back.
Hola. ¿Cómo estás?
Take it easy. You've already exceeded my knowledge of Spanish. How was the great country of Mexico?
Mexico's wonderful. It was really interesting because, you know, they had the big hurricane in September. And so there were places where they were still doing a lot of repairs. And there are hotels closer to the airport in San Juan that won't open until next year. I mean, they're like
next year.
Westin is just wrecked. Yeah, it's pretty impressive. But the work that they have done in 2 months to get everything up and running is unbelievable. And we had a great time.
Should we hire whoever is doing that work to improve the 405?
Yes.
We should hire them to come into the studio and just fix our lights. That would be nice. I'd come in and have my computers in the dark. I don't understand what happens here.
Lisa, you know there's a huge contingent of Americans who retire in Mexico. They realize from vacationing down there, man, it's cheap to live and the people are friendly and the weather's good and why not?
Nothing wrong with that.
I wonder if you're going to be one of those Americans down there.
I may retire somewhere else, someplace sunny and warm with a beach.
Yeah. It's a pretty good deal, that's for sure. Well, we missed you, Lisa.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And you missed a lot of excitement.
Well, I did see the – I was going to listen to the podcast, but somehow it didn't happen.
Yeah, that's – you go, hey – no.
What? A margarita? Yes. Thank you.
I can do other things. And
it's way better.
I've heard it.
I've heard that show.
Well, we've got a good program for you today, but I want to start with this story if we have time. You know, we've had a rash of stories lately about insects or bugs living inside of people.
Yes.
What do we have? We had the woman with the leech that she had in her – nose, for some time.
Yeah, she could, like, see it backing out a little bit.
That's right.
That's so gross.
And then we had the guy who had the moth in his ear. We had that video on the Roundup. And I feel like there was another one recently of another bug living inside of somebody. Well, here's a new one. This guy, back in 2008, started having symptoms, including headaches, seizures, altered smell. He started going to the doctor. Multiple tests and scans were inconclusive, but over a number of years, thanks to MRI images, they realized that he had brain lesions, and the lesions were moving in his brain. Well, they did a biopsy recently, and you, of course, know where this is headed.
Nope.
And they pulled out a small globular object. Pathology identified it as?
Nope.
A tapeworm.
Yeah! That had been in his brain?
Yes, for five years in his – now I guess it's 2014 now, so 6 years it had been in his brain.
Was it eating his brain?
It wasn't eating his brain. It was just moving around in his brain, and it was pushing up against various parts that were causing memory flashbacks and pain and seizures and all sorts of stuff.
But how did it survive for that long?
But yeah, how does it – it has to eat something, right?
Without food.
That's a great question. I don't know. It doesn't say here that it was eating his brain. So maybe it was. How did he end up with a tapeworm in his brain? The man is Chinese. He actually lived in Britain and had for many, many years, but frequently visits China. And apparently, he ate a snake or a frog or something like that that had a tapeworm egg inside of it.
Oof. No, thank you.
And then it went from there all the way up to his brain.
All the way up to his brain and grew into a tapeworm. Yeah. And apparently, this is fascinating. This is the most fascinating part of this whole article to me. There have only been 7 reported cases of human infection in Europe, but more than 1,000 in China.
I say bring your own food if you're going to China.
Well, he's Chinese, though. He's Chinese.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
It's not like he was a tourist who ate something by accident, but yeah. So apparently in China, they eat a lot of dishes that include frogs and snakes. And they also have some sort of medicinal – it is believed that they have some medicinal advantages as well. So sometimes parts of those animals will be rubbed on your body. And all it takes is a little water flea inside that can then turn into a tapeworm. Hmm. So imagine that.
You know, I wouldn't have been surprised if they'd put him on antipsychotics. And you could go so many different directions with his complaints.
Absolutely.
Before you'd ever figure out there was a worm in his brain.
Yeah, it's so rare. In fact, a doctor in the article says because it's such a rare infection, it doesn't make any economic sense for anyone to develop a drug for it. But if drugs that were developed for other more common infections can be repurposed that could help patients with this infection in the future, that would be outstanding.
So what'd they do? Did they...
They pulled it out.
They pulled it out.
They pulled out the tapeworm. They had to do brain surgery and pull it out. Yeah, exactly. So 6-year headache from having a tapeworm in your head. If you're going to get a tapeworm, you want it to be in your stomach where it eats up all your food, right?
Right.
Well, I don't think you want a tapeworm really anywhere.
Well, but if.
Yeah, if. You'd rather eat your food than eat your brain.
Yeah.
Look. I know I'm not in charge of this particular segment, but for the rest of the year, are we good with bugs inside of us? I mean, really,
that many more days.
We've really been working it pretty hard lately. At least we did a call-in topic. I'm not sure if you were here or not for that, of people that had bugs in them.
Yes, I think
you
I
were
was.
Here? Okay.
Yes. You're right. It's been a theme.
I think we've had enough.
I can't control the news, you guys.
Right,
it's like saying, hey, how about no more with the Bill Cosby accusers? They're out there. They're newsworthy, and they're coming forward, and there's no way to stop them. It's just that's
what's happening.
Well,
you don't have to pick. I mean, there's a lot of stories you could pick.
So let's say you have a choice of two.
Right, exactly.
And one is a bug and one is not.
Correct.
We're just saying go with the non.
Go with the non-bug.
Nick liked the bug stories.
I'm sure he did.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeecho, shall we?
I have a boner!
The kids that sell candy to you because they're trying to raise money for their team to travel.
Oh, I have a story about a very angry man who tried to do that.
Oh, really?
To me
really?
A couple of weeks
ago.
Oh,
I can't wait.
Yeah.
They're just trying to get football uniforms, Kevin. That's all they're trying to do, just raise a little money so they can field a team with the uniform. That's all.
Here's what I am understanding. They are lying liars who lie.
That's what I'm thinking, too.
Scam! So we'll talk about that today.
Okay. I don't know why you hate little kids that are just trying to make their lives better, but okay.
Andrew Siciliano will be here talking about the NFL.
And what 12. A weekend it was, huh, Kevin?
I'm good with it. I'm good with it. Still in first place.
Wow. Yep.
Even though we lost.
Yep. Oh, you got lots of room. You can afford to lose games.
And the Seattle team that lost that was important was the Sounders, so I'm happy with that. We're also going to talk about Psycho Body. Now, I'm not positive how this came about the week of Thanksgiving. Because normally the week of Thanksgiving, you go, okay, I'm on a diet, I need to watch my weight, and all this kind of stuff. But this week.
No one's doing it this week.
It's a write-off.
No one's starting this week, that's for sure.
It's a write-off.
We'll talk to Mike about this when he comes in. But I think there is some value in, maybe you've been good, maybe you've been trying to lose some weight this year. The holidays are coming. Don't throw all of that out the window and just go hog wild. Don't eat everything in sight under the guise of, oh, it's the holidays. I'm allowed. You can enjoy yourself. You can splurge a little bit, but still make some pretty good choices, I bet.
No.
Okay. All
That's
right.
ridiculous.
So call Mike and just tell him not to come in. He won't allow it.
Well, what kind of timing is this? Doesn't make any sense. We're also going to announce the top 10 for Miss Double December.
Oh.
Narrowed it down to 10.
Oh, I missed that. I missed all that drooling over pictures.
Drooling?
Darn.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I picked the best week to be gone. We take it very seriously,
Lisa.
I've been here. Yes, you do.
We spent all weekend.
Sometimes you need your own time.
With a lot of these photos just to make sure that we pick the right person.
I know it.
So that happens.
You.
We're going to talk to Harvey Levin from TMZ. We have tickets for the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, night number 2. And in the UK, they have a bus that runs on poop. All right, we'll take a quick break and we'll come back with the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 551.
Ally McKay, ladies and gentlemen, joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's up, girlfriend? How you doing?
I'm doing great, as you know.
Sort of. Not really.
Sometimes you faint in the shower.
Look how pretty and put together she is for 6 o'clock in the freaking morning.
I know. Though.
You are lovely.
This is from the years of being used to being on TV, I bet.
It is.
You forgot that this is radio and we suck.
Well, no. I know what I look like without makeup, and it's a fetus, quite frankly.
Okay.
Yeah. I have blonde eyelashes, blonde eyebrows, and I look like a fetus. I don't want to do that to you.
Are you prepared to fill in for Ralph Garman on the Showbiz Beat today?
Ish. Yeah.
Right.
But first, I want to start off with some devastating news.
Okay. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
It's not ideal.
It's only devastating to Bean. And a smaller portion of the population, but a vocal portion.
Okay.
Uh-oh. If you watched the Cowboys-Giants game, you heard the big announcement of who would be performing during the halftime of the Super Bowl.
I thought they already made that announcement.
It was just rumored before.
Yesterday was official.
Oh.
Yeah, they made it during the game. It is not Weird Al Yankovic.
Oh.
Right.
How could it
not
be Weird Al Yankovic?
I don't know. I thought that they just mispronounced his name and said Katy Perry.
But apparently
it is indeed Katy Perry. She will be headlining the halftime entertainment at the Super Bowl. And remember before the NFL had said, hey, we'd like you to contribute.
They were going to make him pay to play, right?
Yeah, or you could offer up some of your tour money post-Super Bowl. No word yet on if she agreed to it. She was very vocal before, saying, I would not do it. Not sure if that changed, if they changed. Right, NFL, I think you have some money.
Yeah,
I don't think
you're
kidding.
Insane.
It's just...
And by the way, Katy Perry is a perfect example of someone... Frankly, as big as the Super Bowl is, who doesn't need the exposure?
No, and let's...
I don't know what she gets out of it, honestly.
Well, glitter.
Right.
We get to see... I'm going to go out on a limb, say she's going to lick a lollipop, possibly wear glittery... Star-spangled banner.
Look, I don't have anything against Katy Perry.
I like this decision. I'm good with it.
Yeah.
I like some of her songs, and I think she's very pretty. She's a very entertaining performer. But even you, Kevin, are with me that this was Weird Al's year.
Look, that's been your lifelong campaign. I like Al, but I don't really watch the Super Bowl for the halftime show.
So for those of us who are excited about it, go ahead and get behind it. At the halftime would be amazing. You would watch the halftime show if it were Al, by the way, because you would want to see what he would do.
I'll watch with Katy Perry.
Yeah, I have a feeling he will watch this year, definitely.
don't think that's not going
to Very close to the TV screen.
Yes.
Well, thanks for bumming us out first thing on a Monday morning,
no problem.
Ellie.
I just wanted that to be the lead so we can go on to, more uplifting stories. Like the AMAs. Who watches those? No?
Was that on last night?
It was, apparently.
Huh.
I watched a few minutes, and I realized I am my parents. You know, when your parents would say, I don't even know who these people are.
Yes.
Get this crap off my TV.
Kevin, all you needed to know is that Pitbull was hosting again.
Oh, my God.
It was delightful. Oh, God bless him. He is a sweet spirit, but please stop talking into a microphone. Artist of the Year, as you can imagine, One Direction.
Well, sure.
That tells you everything you need to know about the American Music Awards.
Yeah, I'm just going to rattle off some things, and you'll just say, this is why I didn't watch.
All right.
Artist of the Year, One Direction. New Artist of the Year, 5 Seconds of Summer.
Yeah. Who are the younger version of One Direction? Yeah.
I believe so. Favorite album, rap or hip-hop? Well, clearly, Iggy Azalea.
That's a good choice.
What?
Really?
Okay.
Really?
All right. Favorite artist, alternative rock, Imagine Dragons. I support that.
Okay.
As well as I support the favorite male artist of the year was Sam Smith. So fine.
All right.
But the other people, I don't know who you are at all. And I felt old watching it, and I don't like to feel old. I can do that just looking right in the mirror. Hey, guys, sad news again. Wow.
Wow, you're going right from sad to bad to sad.
Yeah.
I'm going back on vacation.
Well, I would after this, because this might just change everything
really?
For you. Queen Latifah show has been canceled.
Yeah.
Talk show is done. Halted immediately. No, hey, we'll do a couple more shows. We'll just do... No, done.
How long?
Pull the plug.
When did it start?
This was season one.
okay.
So I'm thinking...
I meant to tune in.
This season two just halted. No. Wow.
Stop doing what you're doing.
Slapped her
put
hand,
down that coffee.
Step away. Right?
I know you're in the middle of doing an interview, Queen Latifah, but we've got
from Barbershop 2, all hail Queen Latifah.
Yeah, what about that? What about all hail Queen Latifah? We don't do that anymore?
No, we do not.
Not so much. Oh, some Kardashian news.
But Wendy Williams is still on, though, right? That's what matters.
As well she should be.
Look, I know Queen Latifah is sad about getting her show canceled.
Yeah.
But she has to, at some point, it has to occur to her that she got canceled and Wendy Williams is still on, and that makes it hurt even more.
That's got to be hard.
Wow.
You know what I did today? I had some popcorn. Woo! I ate popcorn. Woo! It's the worst show on TV.
It really is. Year after year.
Oh, yet she's working.
Yep.
Okay, that took a turn. Kourtney Kardashian, you guys, the queen of subliminal Instagrams. Is her relationship with Scott Disick possibly over? Well, if you read into her Lilo and Stitch picture that read, "If you want to leave, you can. I'll remember you, though. I remember everyone that leaves." If you read into her posting that on Instagram as her boyfriend leaving her, then, well, you follow her on Instagram. And that's kind of sad.
That's on you.
Yeah, that's on you, everybody. That is on you. Let's do a little box office, shall we? There's a slight discrepancy between the number one movie and, well, everything. What would you think the number one movie would be?
I would guess it might be Mockingjay.
It would indeed.
Yeah.
Debuting number one with $123 million. Yeah. Followed by Big Hero 6 bringing in 20.1, which usually you'd be like, hey, that's not bad.
That is good. Yeah, right.
Well, that's, you know, $100 million
difference.
Million difference. That's a lot. All right. Number three, Interstellar. Number four, Dumb and Dumber 2. Bringing in 13.8.
Kevin.
Didn't see it.
Okay. Gone Girl, again, not so gone, but $2.8 million rounding out the top five. Celebrity birthdays. There's some good ones.
All right.
Maybe one that you won't think is that good. But actor Stephen Merchant, he is 40.
Love him.
Sarah Hyland, adorable, Modern Family, 24 years old. Katherine Heigl, 36. Nothing?
Has that show of hers started yet?
Yeah, I think it started
last week.
Yeah,
good times. And one of the greatest men ever, a Kings fan, a delight. I've never met him. I've just heard him on the radio here at K-Rock. Colin Hanks is 37 years old. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman
with the Showbiz Beat.
We were talking about Imagine Dragons with Allie and the Showbiz Beat a few minutes ago. If you want to see them on night number two of the sold-out 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert on December 14th at the Forum, then hang on, give you a chance to win those tickets in about 30 minutes or so, a little less than that from right now here on K-Rock. This is the new thing, you guys. This is the new thing.
Yes.
Look, I know right now we're not thinking much about alternative fuels because gasoline is so cheap. I mean, in America, it's like $3 a gallon now in most places, right? A little bit more.
Maybe, right, so we can stop all this nonsense, right?
But there are places like in England where this story comes from where fuel is still very expensive. And they're looking for ways to save money by looking for other things they can use to run their cars and buses and trains. And one of the things they've come up with is poop. Human poop. Human sewage is now being used to run transportation.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lisa. That's exactly the point is we make it every day and it's free. So why not use it? So there is the biobus, as it's called, running entirely on biomethane gas produced by treating waste and sewage at a plant in the UK. It's a 40-seat bus that is run on human poop. Why not?
Well, smell, for one thing.
Well, I'm sure they've worked that out, Kevin. It's not like you're pooping on the bus. I mean, it's treated. You know, it's treated and then turned into fuel. So we have many questions about this, and I believe the man who can answer those questions is on the line. Let's say hello to Clark Atkinson here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Hello, sir.
I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Clark, we hadn't even said hello yet. Is this Clark Atkinson?
It is. I apologize. Very sorry for all that.
the CEO of the biotechnology company known as GE. I'm sorry, how do you pronounce your company? Geneco?
Geneco.
Geneco. Okay, yes. Thank you so much for joining. We were just explaining to our listeners about the UK. It's officially called the BioBus, but people are calling it the Poop Bus.
I know. It's a jolly unfortunate nickname, that. We like to call it the BioBus because we are using biomethane gas produced by treating waste as a source of energy.
On the one hand, of course, it makes a lot of sense. It sounds very resourceful to use something that there's an abundance of on the planet and turn it into a positive and use it for energy. But on the other hand, it's awfully unpleasant, and I can't imagine a lot of people want to be involved in your industry.
Well, let's face it, the fossil fuels are in danger of, if not disappearing, certainly becoming less prevalent, and the use of it is highly cost inefficient, if you will.
Right.
Not to mention it's largely found in certain geopolitical parts of the world that are unstable. So if we can find alternative fuel sources like biomethane gas, then I believe we can all live a better life. So if we can just get over the stigma of it all, I think we can all...
Oh, are you all right, Clark?
Oh, yes. I believe we can all rejoice in the fact that there's something that's plentiful. I mean, everybody poops, let's face it. And I think that...
Come on.
You're not running a bus now, are you, Clark?
I actually am on the bio bus right now, and I'm just doing a little top-off.
Just fill up the tank, are you?
I am, yes. Just to give me a little extra fuel just to get us from between Bath and Bristol.
Now, if I get on the bus, am I going to have to pay my toll, so to speak, every time?
Do you mean you would have to take a...
Oh, come on, Clark, we can't use that word on the radio here.
No, no, not at all. We don't expect the, all toilet humor aside, we don't expect the passengers to have to contribute to the fuel source. That's not exactly how it works. We take the raw sewage and waste, and then we process it in a way that's probably too complicated to talk about here, but it becomes a biogas, which is then burnt and providing heat and energy for the bus itself. So it's not as if... You just, open up and you screw off a top and then you just take a big into the...
Again, if you could watch the language, Clark, we can't use that. Oh, here we go again.
Oh, that's a kilometer right there.
The picture that we have, unfortunately, is of a bus and people are sitting on toilets. That's just fake, right? I mean, that's not...
No, that was actually part of our promotional campaign.
Yeah.
To inform people what we were using actually as a fuel source. But we won't be using that as a regular advertising campaign, just as scads of people taking giant.
Okay, again with the light, we're going to have to cut you off, sir, if you can't contain your language.
Well, excuse the out of me.
Okay. What's happening? I thought we were having a nice conversation about fuel.
I'm talking.
Okay. All right, Clark, we're going to let you go and top off the tank, there, sir. All right.
This has been pleasant.
This is not pleasant. This is terrible.
Okay.
I wish I hadn't been on this call.
I'm serious. Well,
now I feel like it would be rude to hang up on him until he's done.
You gotta let him finish, right?
Right.
Interrupt. I don't want to hang up on this guy.
All right, Mr. Atkinson. Point is made, sir. You're generating a lot of fuel. We appreciate it.
I could fly to visit you on that one.
I don't That's how much fuel he's made, as he can get all the way to America. Thanks a lot for tuning in here on a Monday morning on the World Famous Carrick. We always look forward to this phone call. Our friend Harvey Levin in the newsroom at TMZ.com. Hey, Harvey, how are you, sir?
I'm good. Good morning, guys.
Are there more people that will get amnesty under President Obama's new plan, or more people accusing Bill Cosby of raping them at this point?
God, what a good question.
I mean... It sounds like a joke, but I honestly was thinking about this over the weekend. Is Bill Cosby one of the most prolific serial rapists in history if all of these women turn out to be telling the truth?
Yeah, I mean, look, what they're saying is he's got an M.O., and that the M.O. is, to drug women and then take advantage of them when they're blacked out. So that's what they're saying. And every day more women come forward. And the question is this the real deal or is it? I mean, it's really funny because I stopped just automatically believing just numbers of people after McMartin, because McMartin seemed so obvious to me that it had to have happened. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then if you guys remember the whole McMartin precinct.
Yeah, but those are kids.
Give a 30-second recap for our listeners who may not recognize the name, though.
Basically, it was a preschool where multiple children came forward and told these incredible stories of playing Hollywood naked movie star and how they were molested by this family. And then it turned out that this thing was manipulated and they were essentially found not guilty, all of them. So, you know, everybody was stunned when that happened because you just assumed that it was all true. Now, I'm not saying these women are lying in the Cosby case, but I don't automatically assume it's true. These are recycled allegations, many of them, because remember, this all came up in 2005, 2006, and the only reason this resurfaced is because this comedian who said, you guys remember this, and somehow it took on a new life, and now more women are coming forward every day. And we just talked to one on Friday who said that he forced oral sex on her in her dressing room at the Tonight Show in 1971. And she said she didn't come forward until last week. She told us, and now she says she's trying to organize a class action lawsuit where she's getting all the women together in one suit.
Now, I want to ask you to draw on your legal background to answer this question, Harvey. What good does a class action lawsuit do if the crimes are outside of the statute of limitations?
I don't need my legal analysis because you just answered it. it's true. I mean,
you can't be found guilty.
The 40-year-old claims, and, you know, the statute of limitations has long run on these, and, you know, there's this theory that, you know, this is one of the things that one of Michael Jackson's accusers is now doing, well, I have to repress memory, and the statute doesn't start running until I remember, and this and that, but I don't think that's going to be the case here, because these are adults, were adults at the time, so, yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty clear that they don't have a lawsuit. I mean, the statute of limitations, long run.
Wait, they can't sue him even though the state can't try him?
Well, that's the statute of limitations, and it's fair, because, look, I mean, how does anybody defend a lawsuit over an allegation of something that happened 40 years ago when the person says, hey, it didn't happen, but how am I going to get witnesses together? I don't remember. I mean, the point of the statute of limitations is that if you got a claim, do it in a fresh enough way that the other person has the ability to defend it. And that's
right.
Why you have a statute of limitations 40 years way outside.
Right. Did you have any of your camera people, Harvey, down in Florida for Bill Cosby's sold-out comedy show on Friday night, where apparently he was very well-received by the audience, standing ovation like a normal show? Do you have anyone out there?
Yeah, we did. And you're right. And it was a long standing ovation. And you know, we talked to some of the people as they came out, and they were saying things like, look, he hasn't been prosecuted, he hasn't been convicted, he hasn't been successfully sued, and, you know, innocent until proven guilty. So he has a solid core. I mean, he has a solid, solid core. And, you know, there are a lot of people who say, look, you know, when people come forward 40 years later, thumbs up.
Right. What do you think of Mr. Cosby's strategy to just not talk about it? Even though a lot of people are criticizing him because they think it makes him look more guilty, it seems like it's working for him. It seems kind of smart to me.
Oh, I think it was a disaster.
Everything's getting canceled. What?
Well, there are two networks, and they tend to cater to the African-American community that are keeping the Cosby show, but a lot of the others, DirecTV has canceled it, a lot of TV Land, he's had a lot of cancellations. But, look, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think his strategy was horrible when he just sat there silently on NPR. You just don't do that.
Yeah.
I agree. But look, the one thing I know from being a little kid is once you tell a lie and your parents start pressing you on it, it unravels even more. And then you have to lie on top of lie on top of lie to kind of hide the first one. By saying I'm not going to address it at all, he's kind of knocking down a bunch of entry points people would have to attack his story, I think.
It's a fair point, but then why do an interview in the first place? I mean, you know it's going to be asked, so why do an NPR interview? Why do any of that stuff?
I don't think he expected it in the NPR interview. I thought he thought he was just there to talk about donating that art. I think that was a real surprise to him that it came up.
It may have been a surprise to him, but his people should have been smarter.
Right.
Harvey, you've seen many, many celebrities in trouble, and you've seen how they handle it PR-wise. What should he have done? Should he have said, this is all false and, you know, all my accusers are lying?
He's got a different team right now, and they are being way more aggressive, and they are coming out and they're going after people, and, you know, for better or worse, it seems to work a lot better than somebody who does an interview and then basically exercises his Miranda rights in the middle of the interview. It's just not the way to do it. And he's now got a team that is aggressive. And usually that works. It depends. I mean, sometimes when you come out and then you start talking about it, it keeps it alive.
Right.
But this is not exactly going away. So given that it's not going away, they're just going to get aggressive.
Is this part of the 24/7 news cycle and the world of something goes up on Twitter and gets retweeted and just can take over the world? I mean, is that the only reason this is happening now with Bill Cosby?
Yeah, you know, in some ways, yeah. Because, look, I mean, there's been a 24/7 news cycle for 35 years. I mean, CNN's, what is it? It's more than 30 years old.
Right.
So, you know, there have been 24/7 news cycles for a long, long time. But I do think social media has changed a lot because, you know, the media doesn't have a monopoly anymore on dissemination of information. And whether information is true or false or whatever else, the fact is it gets out there in social media, and a lot of times traditional media follows social media.
And we all get to be part of the gang. Like in a case like this, the snowball continues to pick up speed and add mass because millions of people are now part of the mob that is accusing him.
Absolutely. I mean, it's absolutely true that it becomes almost, and I'm not saying that it's true or false, but it is mob psychology.
Right.
That all of a sudden you see this groundswell, and then what happens is the media says, oh, that's got to be a good story because look at the groundswell, and then they do the story, and it kind of becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Do you think, and I know we're out of time here, Harvey, we'll let you go, but do you think at some point it'll be so, the accusations will be so deafening and the public will have turned against him so much that he'll have to sit down with an Oprah or a 60 Minutes or something like that and address this thing?
You know, it's really funny, guys. Maybe, except what if there's another big thing that happens? What's amazing is sometimes everybody has the attention span of a fly.
Right.
And everybody fixates on this one thing, and then something else crazy happens, and then that other thing just goes away.
Yeah.
It's like nobody talks about it anymore.
So if something else
fixated on the next thing.
If something else big happens between now and then, he may not have to actually deal with it.
People just all of a sudden move on. And that's what happens with social media now, that they move on, and then the media says, oh, wow, then that thing's really big, and then they do that one. And it's like, you know, it's like with Ebola. Everybody talked about Ebola. And, you know, and it was like gripping the nation. And then all of a sudden, when was the last time you saw a story on Ebola?
Right. Well, you're doing great work there at TMZ. I know you got a lot of people on this Cosby case, and we're checking frequently for the updated numbers. You do have to have a tally somewhere on the site that shows how many women have come forward, though, just to make it easier for us to keep track of current news, though, Harvey.
You know, I think it's around 13, but it's getting...
Yeah, oh, it's closer to 20 now.
You think?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's closer to 20. I mean, I saw when it was 16 a few days ago, so it's got to be getting closer to 20. But put a tally up there for me. Would you do that, Harvey? That'd make it easier for me.
I'll get the staff to do it right now.
All right. Look for TMZ all over Channel 11, including TMZ Live at 4 p.m. and then TMZ Hollywood Sports Airs Monday through Friday on the Reels channel. Harvey, thanks so much for the talk. We enjoyed it.
We'll see you guys.
Thank you. I may be too excited by this, but 1 week from today, this year's Killers Christmas single comes out Monday, December 1st.
Very exciting.
If it's good, I'll like it.
I love the
sure.
Killers, and I love Christmas.
I love the Killers, and I love Christmas. It's a week away from a song, a Christmas song, though.
I know. Hey, speaking of music, how about Imagine Dragons and Interpol and Modest Mouse, Smashing Pumpkins, Vance Joy, Tears for Fears, Alt-J, Weezer, and a little band called U2. They're all playing night number two of the sold-out 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Show. We want you to win with a game we like to call Lick Lisa.
Can you lick Lisa? I think you'll find it's hard. But if you do lick Lisa, something hot's waiting for you.
Lick, lick Lisa, 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 but keep clear of her vagina.
Oh, all those stupid rules. I hate it so much. Kevin, how's this game go?
Well, Lisa was on vacation last week, and she emailed all of us and said, if I could just be licked when I come back, I would feel better.
I'll come back early.
So I'll ask a question. Lisa has to give an answer. She'll give all the answers are numbers. Mm-hmm. She'll give a guess. Then all you have to say is the actual answer higher, lower, or exactly the same as Lisa said. So okay. You don't have to come up with the answer, listeners. Lisa comes up with the answer, and then you guess.
And if you're right, you go into the drawing, and you're one step closer to winning tickets to the sold-out Acoustic Christmas Night number 2. Now, who's going to be licking today, though?
That would be, we have a special licker.
That would be Muggs.
Yes.
Oh, no. Muggs doesn't lick. He eats. Everybody knows that.
Oh, I think Muggs can lick.
Okay.
Not all positive right. What that meant, but all right.
Let's find out, and let's meet our first contestant, who is going to be Jude in Venice. Hi, Jude. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. How are you doing this fine Monday morning?
Oh, good morning. I'm doing great.
Good.
Well, good luck. I hope you're able to lick Lisa. Here we go.
Lisa, here's your first question. Modest Mouse released arguably their biggest song, Float On February 14th, Valentine's Day 2004. Valentine's Day is the number one holiday for florists each year. Lisa, my question for you is, how much money does the average person in America spend on Valentine's Day per year?
Oh.
Average person in America, how much do they spend on Valentine's Day a year?
So that's flowers and
candy,
dinner, chocolate,
dinner.
Jewels, lots of stuff, right?
I got to think it's got to be like, but then some people don't spend much at all. Right.
Me. Right.
Like
me. Like Bean. Because Bean says it's Valentine's Day every day of the year.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right. I don't know, like $160?
$160. Jude, is the actual answer higher, lower, or is that correct?
Well, it's not me, but I think it would be higher.
Sorry, lower, $130.97.
Wow. Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. Sorry, Jude.
Sorry, no. Thanks for playing, Jude. By the way, great guess, Lisa May. $160 pulling
that
out of your butt.
Close.
That's impressive. All right, let's meet Richard in Sunland, line 2. He's up next on this edition of Lick Lisa.
Hi, Richard.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hi, Richard.
Good, thank you. Imagine Dragons are playing night 2. Their new single, I Bet My Life, was released in late October and was featured in the video that LeBron James had when he was returning to Cleveland. He made this big video. And it featured this song saying that he was coming back to Cleveland. Lisa, when he played with the Heat, the 12 months before he made that decision, 12 months, the single year before he went back to Cleveland, how much money did LeBron James make in salary and endorsements?
Oh, good Lord.
Salary and endorsements.
No idea.
Well, he made enough for a bitch and hair transplant, I'll tell you that.
In a 12-month period, how much money did he make?
$40 million.
$40 million. Richard, is the actual answer higher, lower, or is it $40 million?
Higher.
Higher is correct. $72.3 million.
That's insane.
In 12 months.
No, that's wrong.
Richard, you are in the drawing to win your tickets. Beer and mug. You get to lick Lisa a little bit here.
I'm going to start it off right with the sexy and go for the neck.
Oh, right. I love. You know that's my favorite part. Oh, nice.
Does he have a delicate touch, Lisa?
He does.
That is not
that
sexy.
That explains a few things.
I got it
right. Now we know why she's still with him.
Yep.
How about Stephen in Tustin? He's up next on line 3.
Hi, Stephen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. This is for night number 2. U2 is scheduled to play night number 2 of the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. There might be an issue with Bono's health because he was bicycling in Central Park.
Yeah.
And went face first. Trying to avoid another bicyclist. Central Park, Lisa, is designated New York City's first scenic landmark in 1974. Lisa, your question is, how many acres make up Central Park?
I don't know.
How many acres are in Central Park?
You've been there.
Yeah.
That helps.
It's big.
Will you accept it's big, Kevin?
Nope. We're going to need a number.
How about mucho? Is mucho acceptable?
350 acres.
350
that
acres.
That seems really big.
Steven, is the actual answer higher, lower, or is it 350?
Higher.
Higher is correct. 843 acres.
Well, that's even bigger.
Nicely done.
You're in the drawing to win the tickets. Beer mug, you get to lick again.
I think I'm going to go back for the neck. That tasted good.
Go over on this side.
Now. Ooh, the other side of the neck.
Oh, yes.
All right, we got
now
time for just one more contestant, and we're going to go down to Mission Viejo for Hannah. She's up next on line 4, please.
All right.
Hi, Hannah.
Hi.
Hi.
The Smashing Pumpkins are playing night number two. Pumpkins are one of the main foods eaten at Thanksgiving.
Yes.
In 2010, the world's largest pumpkin pie was made in New Bremen, Ohio, at the New Bremen Pumpkin Fest. All right, Lisa, I'm going to ask you how many pounds this pie was, but let me give you some details.
All right.
How many pounds was the pie? The pie consisted of 1,212 pounds of canned pumpkin, 109 gallons of evaporated milk.
Wait, when? Say that
2,796 eggs, 7 pounds of salt.
Lisa's trying to do the math in her head.
14 and a half pounds of cinnamon and 525 pounds of sugar.
Whoa.
Lisa, what is the number? How heavy was this pie, the world's largest pumpkin pie, by pounds?
Just 500 pounds in sugar.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be like, I don't know, like 500 pounds.
500
pounds. No, wait. That's the sugar. 5,000 pounds. 5,000 pounds. 5,000 pounds.
Do we accept the second guess?
Yes, 5,000 pounds is what you're saying for the world's largest pumpkin pie.
Dumb. No.
All right, Hannah.
I'm going to go higher.
Well, I'm sorry. It's 3,699 pounds.
Seriously?
Yep.
I thought I was insane.
That's
not a bad guess. Not a bad guess. Hannah, I'm sorry you're not in the drawing, but Richard is and Steven is. Only one will win tickets for night number two of the sold-out 25th Annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert. Beer Mug, who's our winner?
Steven, line three.
Yes! Steven.
Steven.
Congratulations, yes! Steven.
Woo! Heck yeah.
Well done, and thanks for playing the game.
Lick Lisa, but keep clear of her vagina.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 657.
Ralph Garman is on vacation this week, filling in with the showbiz beat. It's the People's Champion, ladies and gentlemen. Ally McKay joins us back in studio
people's
here on K-Rock.
Champion.
I didn't know she was the People's Champion. That's awesome.
I didn't know either.
That's good
news. People are very excited when you're on the show, Ally. They love you.
Oh, well, not Ralph's Garmy. They don't love anyone Ralph.
Yeah, they just love Ralph.
We do hear from the Garmy a lot. And by the way, let me just save you some time. If you're going to email to tell us that you're not listening to the show because Ralph's not on it, save us both the time.
Wow.
That's not information that is useful.
It's hurtful, Garmy. It's hurtful.
You don't want to listen? Don't listen. You don't have to tell me about it.
Oh, do they all cap it, too? Because they do that with me on Twitter.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure.
You're no Ralph Garman. I'm like, well, thank God. But I'd have a hot wife and a cute kid, and I'd be
true.
In Hawaii.
That is true. All that would be true.
None of that is happening. Hey, guys, do they know it's Christmas? You know that they re-released it, the 30th anniversary of that Band-Aid single?
Well, re-recorded it.
Yes, I'm sorry. I said re-released. Mm-hmm. No, re-recorded with people none of us really know. But would you believe the fastest-selling single in the UK for 2014?
No kidding.
That's really? Impressive.
That's really impressive. Debuted at number one, has sold 312,000 copies so far, and they have already raised $1.5 million.
That is a huge sales number for a small country like England.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you two things are going on here. One is people know it's for charity, so they're happy to make a donation because they know it's for a good cause. They're doing the right thing. And two is those One Directioners, man, they will buy anything that those kids are on. So I bet that's a lot of the reason why it sold so fast.
Exactly. Yeah, Garmy, you're no directioner is all I'm going to say. They come hard.
They do.
All right. Miley Cyrus celebrated her 22nd birthday over the weekend. And how would you celebrate your 22nd birthday?
Topless and
done. You and Miley. She was indeed topless with her latest boy toy, of course, Arnold Schwarzenegger's son, Patrick. Which is exactly how I celebrated mine as well.
It is, no kidding.
With one of Schwarzenegger's kids. Not even true, but hey, no problem. Did you guys love all the Pirates of the Caribbean movies?
So far, I've liked
some
them.
Yes. Of them.
Some are better than others, but I think they're all good.
Well, Dead Men Tell No Tales is coming along quite well with their casting. Of course, Johnny Depp back as Captain Jack Sparrow. Jeffrey Rush will be playing Barbossa. And Javier Bardem. Yum.
He's great.
How you doing, right?
Yeah.
He is in final talks to be the movie's villain. a ghost captain who blames Sparrow for the death of his brother. Right? Oh, wow. He could just be there in the corner. I'd be like, oh, that's a great movie. I'm going to see it twice.
Yummy.
I'm right. Saying. Hey, when a show doesn't work out and they cancel it, what do you think should be the next option for it?
Death?
Death? Maybe never talk about it again?
Yeah.
No, not so with Fox. Rumored to be bringing back The X Factor. You canceled it last season after three seasons, but they're thinking about bringing it back for a
half hour. They found a thing to replace it with.
What the heck is going on?
Was that Simon Cowell leaving American Idol?
Yes. So they are now, according to the rumor mill in the London Mirror, bringing it back for a fourth season. Huh. You know, since the third season finale was down a third from the second season. So they should definitely bring it back.
So they looked at that and they went, let's bring it back.
They're like, that is so not as bad as we thought it would be. Let's bring it back. Good
you
Lord.
Know why I'm surprised by that, besides the fact that it was a pretty expensive show to put on because of all the big salaries of the judges, is that it seems to me like that cannibalizes a little bit of your American Idol audience. American Idol is less special if there's more shows like The X Factor on the air, so I'm surprised that they would kind of hurt their own show with it.
That's a good thought.
But then I'm no TV executive, so what the hell do I know?
Well, neither am I.
What the hell do they know?
I know. When I come back, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about how England is screwing us still.
Okay.
So that's a little teaser, as I used to say in the TV biz. Birthdays! Stephen Merchant, 40. Katherine Heigl, who Kevin cannot stop talking about, 36.
How dare you.
Sarah Hyland, 24. And everybody's favorite Kings fan besides Kevin, Colin Hanks, is 37.
He's the best.
He's the best. I'm Allie McKay, in for Ralph Garman on the Showbiz Beat.
Andrew Siciliano joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about week number 11 of the NFL. By the way, I didn't see your Cardinals game, Kevin. How the Cardinals work out?
I think it was week 12, and I think they had a bye week
Really?
I think they didn't play.
I thought they lost to the Seahawks, but I guess we'll check that with Andrew. I'm not sure. Plus, just in time for Thanksgiving, our friend Mike Catherwood stops by with the Psycho Body, because now's when your diet should start. But first, it is the most wonderful time of the year. Give me that theme song that I love so much. You can go to krock.com right now and see the top 10 finalists for Miss Double December 2015.
Here she comes. She's our Miss Double December.
Big juicy melons.
She's an angel, and just look at those cans.
She does have great cans.
She's got big guns, baby. She's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, look, my is hard.
The kids love Miss Double D.
And why wouldn't they? Look, nobody's listening to us right now because everyone is fast and furious going to their computers and their phones and their iPads, and they're looking at the website right now at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. We have just unveiled this year's top 10 finalists to be Miss Double December 2015. The crowning ceremony is going to be a week from Friday, you guys, at the Rock and Roll Slide Bar Kitchen in Fullerton. That's where we're going to be on stage, meeting the girls, interviewing them, seeing their talent competitions, and picking somebody to represent the Kevin and Bean Show for all of next year. Kevin, why don't we do a quick rundown of the ladies who have been selected to be in our top 10 while we thank everybody who did apply this year.
Yeah, thank you to everybody. We do have a top 10, though. One of them is Jen from Newport Beach. She is a law student. I feel like I'm hosting a dating show.
Sounds like it.
She loves sports, music, and video games. And log walks on the beach.
Put your hands together for Jen.
She says that she can sing with her mouth closed. It's one of her talents.
Oh, that's interesting.
Like a ventriloquist?
Sing with her mouth closed.
All right.
She's a law student, by the way.
Yeah.
So she's smart, too?
Yep.
That's crazy. Up next is Adriana. She is a top 10 finalist. She is from Whittier. She is a legal office receptionist. And if she had one superpower, what would it be and why? She says healing, to help ease the pain of others and help others. She sounds like she's way too nice a person to be involved in the Kevin and Bean Show.
Well, we'll corrupt her. Don't worry about that.
She's not interested in looking through, using X-ray vision to look through locker rooms. She's not interested in flying. She's not interested in making fire, come out of her fingertips. She wants to help ease the pain of others. Doesn't it seem like she should be on a mission to Nicaragua helping orphans or something rather than getting out on stage and shaking her ass?
Well, maybe so, but don't try and talk her out of it. What's wrong with you?
I love you, Adriana. You're way too sweet for this program already. You are contestant number two.
Contestant number three is Marcela from Whittier. She's a surgical tech. If you wrote an autobiography, what would the title be? Marcy, the kind of human wreckage you love.
Oh, that sounds
interesting.
Intriguing.
Yeah.
What would your talent be? Hula hooping or putting on lipstick without my hands?
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. We'll look forward to seeing that. And by the way, we're going to meet all of these 10 finalists over the next week or so here on The Kevin and Bean Show as they come in for their in-studio interviews as well. Get a chance to see a little bit of their personality as well. Speaking of personality, check out T. She's from Canoga Park. She's contestant number four. She is a tax department manager. I'm being told by Dave that her talent that she plans to do on stage in Fullerton is that she is going to squash a watermelon between her thighs.
All right. All right.
That's interesting.
Good. I'm happy with that.
So free watermelon for everybody, guys. Correct. Come on out.
Number five is Tamara from Long Beach, a physical trainer. Looks like she's in fantastic shape. And her talent is deep squats.
Okay.
Not everyone can do that.
No.
By the way,
nor
you
do
talk
we
about,
want to see everyone do that. And
you
yet.
Talk about how she's in great shape. The abs on that woman are unbelievable.
Yeah, I brought up in the office, do we want a Miss Double D that can kick our asses? I'm not positive.
Be fun for a change.
Up next from the city of Orange, she is a bartender. Her name is Raina. She, by the way, is often confused for Marissa Tomei, which is quite a compliment. She looks just like her in these photos, too. If you were a porn star, your made-up stage name would be Lollipops, and she plans to deep-throat a banana for us. That is her talent. That's an outstanding talent. Raina, congratulations. You are a top 10 finalist for Miss Double December 2015.
I think she was also in it last year as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Number seven is Ashley from La Habra. Her talent is decorating cupcakes with my boobies.
How does that work?
I don't know. Decorating cupcakes with my boobies.
I guess we'll find out.
I guess we'll find out.
Going through the top 10 finalists for Miss Double December 2015, you can go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com, and you can see the pictures and all of the entry forms and bios and questionnaires. Leah is up next. She is from Canyon Country. First and foremost, she says she is a 34 double D. She's a kind and fun person. She can make awesome cakes shaped like boobies with alcohol in them. She says she loves K-Rock and turns the radio on Kevin and Bean every morning when she gets up to go to work at 5 a.m. It would be an honor to be the Miss Double December for 2015. If you are selected as a finalist, you'll be asked to perform in a talent show. What is your talent? She says naked or semi-naked musician and songwriter.
Okay.
All right then.
Yes.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Who are we to stand in the way of your musical ambitions, Leah? Welcome to the competition.
Next up is Miss Padilla from North Hollywood, an executive assistant. If you were a porn star, what would your made-up stage name be? And hers is Down Debbie. So I think you can see where she's going with that.
Michelle is the final contestant. She is number 10 on our list of the top 10 finalists. She's from Los Angeles. She works as a model, by the way. She says, I'm usually outspoken among my friends. I'm ready to make a scene and be heard. Using my awesome assets, I always have the attention of everyone. My two triple D's are natural, and I am a proud booby lover of all boobies. Triple D's, we decided that was okay, right?
I think we're going to let that slide.
And she claims to be a motorboating expert. I'm not sure how that plays itself into the talent competition, but that's what she seems to enjoy. So she will be in studio with us also next week. We'll get a chance to meet her. This is a fantastic group of ladies, by the way.
Agreed. Go to
Very excited. And thanks again to everybody. We only had room for 10 in the finalists. That's how much room we have. But we had far more than that applied this year. And I hope you won't give up the dream of being Miss Double December. There's always next year. But one of these ladies that we've just described will be an honorary member of the Kevin and Bean family for 2015. So make your plans to go online right now and vote yes.
And for life. And for life.
You can go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com right now and cast your vote. It really does matter. And you can see all the girls on stage at the Slide Bar Rock and Roll Kitchen in Fullerton a week from Friday, December 5th. Come on down. It is Thanksgiving week, and maybe you're not thinking about what you're eating. Maybe you're just looking forward to pigging out starting Thursday and all four-day weekend long. Is that the right choice? Let's find out with our friend Psycho Mike, Mike Catherwood from Loveline, who joins us on the phone on K-Rock right now. Hey, Michael, how are you, sir?
Hi.
I understand you're on your way down here?
Yeah. Why is there Armageddon like a block away from the station? It's like massive road construction.
Yeah, that's always the case. That's always the case.
They've been working on Venice out there and Fairfax out there for like 2 years, Mike.
I feel like they don't work, though. They just put up signs.
Yeah, I mean, it's no excuse. I should have known better. I mean, I could have been there on time, but I swear to God, I've been like less than a mile away from the station for 15 minutes.
Yeah, that's the best.
Well, listen, we are going to take calls like we do from time to time at 1-800-520-1067. Real quickly, before we talk about Thanksgiving in general, Mike, what kinds of questions are you hoping for today from the kids?
White meat, dark meat, will all be carved?
That's a good question. I find this timing to be suspect because I'm not interested at all in how to eat healthy this week.
Yeah, but you're thin and take care of yourself the majority of the time, Kevin. Like, I think that a lot of people are not that way, and then they know they're going into a holiday that's based around gorging, so
yeah,
they wonder how they can like minimize damage. I'm on team Dave Sanchez, and I believe that Thanksgiving's the most overrated food holiday ever.
What's not to like about Thanksgiving? It's nothing but platter after platter of delectable treats that you don't get the whole rest of the year.
You turn around and go right back home.
I mean, that's seriously, totally how can you not?
How can you not have mashed potatoes any time of the year, whenever you want?
All right, mashed potatoes, fine. But Mike, how often do you sit down to dinner that usually someone else prepares, by the way, and have a choice of pecan pie or pumpkin pie? Like, how does that alone not make it the best holiday?
Any time you want to go to Marie Callender's, that's how you know it's a crappy holiday. Like, you're telling me I have my choice between pecan pie and pumpkin pie. It's not like you're telling me, oh, I have my choice between a nice French-made profiterole or some tiramisu. It's crap pie.
It's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this and do that.
First of all, you couldn't be more wrong.
It's a holiday based around your people stealing this country from my people.
No, it's not. It's a holiday that's based on making yourself fat for a day and watching
it's
football.
It's a holiday based around smallpox blankets and torture.
Look, don't you look inward and go, do I really want to be on team Dave Sanchez? Doesn't that cross your mind that you could be wrong if you're siding with Dave?
Now listen, Bean, that's a very good point. I thought long and hard about that, but I still think that it's overrated when it comes to food.
All right, 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. If you're interested in trying to make it through the holidays without adding 10 or 15 or
right.
25.
Minimum damage.
Right, minimum damage.
That's right. If you've got some specific questions, you've got some general questions for Mike, he's the guy who knows how to do it. I mean, just look at him. 1-800-520-1067. The Psycho Body, your questions for Mike Catherwood in studio when we return right after this on K-Rock. Psycho Mike on the phone. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, hold on, guys. I'm on the phone with Kevin B.
All right, it's us.
You're also in the studio, so you can hang up the phone now, Mike. We're good. You're here.
Mike just walked in. Hi.
How you doing, buddy?
Hi, Mike.
I'm good. I got puked on this morning.
All right.
And poo.
Okay.
I'm hoping this is a baby thing.
No, that's the thing.
That's what's weird.
It's on a private jet back from Germany.
And you paid extra for it. Hey, listen, Mike, two things. Yeah. One is, since you brought up pecan and pumpkin pie, Kevin just had a slice of each since the last time we talked to you, because Marie Callender's brought some by today in time for the Thanksgiving week. So thank you for the suggestion. Great idea. We're very much enjoying their pies today.
It's an excellent restaurant that makes excellent pies.
Yes,
exactly.
They do.
Exactly.
But it doesn't change the fact that Thanksgiving is an overrated holiday.
You're wrong about that. Yeah. But number two is, hey, let's take some calls for Psycho Body.
Don't just get fit, get psycho. Don't just get strong, get psycho. Don't just get big, get psycho. It's the Psycho Body with your host, Psycho Mike. Yeah. Are you with me?
We're with you. 1-800-520-1067. Taking your calls. Let's start with Ezekiel. He is in Pacoima, and he's up first on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Ezekiel.
Ezekiel.
Hey, hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're
hello.
On. How's Jebediah? You're on with Mike.
Hey, Psycho Mike, got a question for you.
Yeah, if I listened to your accent, I would never have guessed your name's Ezekiel, buddy.
hey, Psycho Mike, what's up? I'm Ezekiel.
What's going on?
I'm Ezekiel Gomez.
All right, what's your question?
All right, so I've been trying to pack on muscle all year long, so I want to know, with that as my excuse, which kind of foods do I want to steer myself towards? You know, what's permissible?
So you're trying to bulk up, but with muscle. right?
Yeah,
that's right. That's
like,
right.
I mean, don't. It's not as hard as people may think. Like, don't eat things that are bad for you. Like, junk food is not a gateway to muscle mass. It's
only the gateway to happiness.
It's a gateway to happiness. It's true. You know, you want
to obviously good for him to eat?
Focus on animal protein unless you're a vegan, or, you know, for moral reasons. Focus on animal protein, the things like different proteins like fish and red meat and chicken and things like that. And also,
what about
healthy
turkey?
Fats.
How is turkey?
Turkey's a great
as far as
source of protein. It really is. Okay. I mean, it's when you're trying to pack on mass, it's you got to remember, don't go for like lower fat cuts. Even I don't really like the idea of lower fat cuts of meat, of any type of meat, turkey, chicken, fowl.
You like your meat or fat?
Yeah, I mean, animal fats in general are very healthy. If you're really watching your calorie intake, I understand. Or if you have problems with digestion of like really fatty foods, but the overall public has been lied to that the idea that animal-based saturated fats is unhealthy. So I, you know, focus on animal protein and stuff like that.
You are not a doctor.
I'm the head of the FDA.
You are. Yeah. Okay. Right. How about sweet potatoes?
Sweet potatoes are a really, really healthy form of carbohydrates. They're slowly digested. They're nutrient dense, and they have a little bit of fiber. I mean, sweet potatoes are a great source of nutrition. When you melt marshmallows on top of them with some brown sugar,
then it's awesome.
It, you know, it skews things a little bit, but you know, sweet potatoes really are.
This is why. Thank you very much for the call, Ezekiel. We're going to move on. This is why. One of the reasons why I was excited about doing this feature this week, Mike, for all the people who say, "Oh, it's Thanksgiving, it's the holidays, I'm screwed. It's just you know, it's going to be nothing but calories." You've already talked about two really good foods that are going to be on the table at most folks' house this Thursday in sweet potatoes and turkey. Both excellent things that you can eat. You can still enjoy the holiday spirit and still not go crazy, right?
Most holidays. I mean, like eating-based holidays, when you think of like 4th of July, Thanksgiving, Christmas, there's always going to be like a lot of stuff that you can, you know, fill up on that isn't necessarily going to destroy your dietary goals.
All right, let's go down to Buena Park. Let's get Jasmine in on the conversation. She is on line 7. She's got a question about this time of year as well.
Hi, Jasmine.
Hi. I recently gained a lot of weight during the summer, and I just kind of wanted some motivation. How do I find motivation during the holidays?
I hate to say this because it just sounds so like defeating, but why make your motivation to lose weight or get that ideal body back in November, you know, or
January.
Right. I mean, it's like, why go to the point where, because most girls, they go, I've gained X amount of weight, I want to take it off. So I'm going to go so far overboard and deprive myself of everything that I like, and it starts today.
All right,
and then Thanksgiving's in 3 weeks, and they binge, and then it's over with, and they go through this yo-yo.
I don't know how to tell you this. Thanksgiving is in 3 days, not 3 days, weeks.
Sorry. Yeah. You're right. No, you're totally right. but my point being is that try to look at yourself right now as – putting nutritious, healthy things in your body that make you feel good about yourself. And then when January 1st comes around, really make that more concrete goal of changing your physique. You know, so that you don't think – like don't look at yourself as like, I'm disgusted with what I've done. I'm going to make that change today, because then you're only going to be torturing yourself on Thanksgiving and Christmas, and you're also going to make continue to perpetuate that negative feeling. So don't deprive yourself, kind of – put that image in your head of what you're going to do come March as opposed to what you're going to do come November 29th.
Right. So when it comes to your health, always, always put it off.
Procrastination is the key. Procrastination is the key.
Thank you, Jasmine, for the call. Good luck, too. Hey, Mike, I have a question for you that's kind of on that topic. Very few of us are ever satisfied with what we look like naked in the mirror.
Yeah.
Very, including you, right?
Yeah, totally.
I love it.
What's going on with that in humans' brains where whatever we've got, it's not good enough?
Listen, and this is wild speculation because, as Kevin pointed out, I am not a medical professional. But I do think that as we kind of progressed and civilization evolved to the point where we don't have to worry about survival every second, that our bodies became more than just a machine to move our muscles. And, you know, I doubt that historically human beings cared if they had six-pack abs or not.
Point, yeah.
And so once we got things like agriculture and cities and air conditioning, and then we started to kind of develop things to worry about. And I just think that with the advent of magazines and now with Instagram and stuff like that, we've just become too conditioned to be more concerned of our appearance.
And to compare ourselves to other people more than we ever have at any time.
And compare ourselves to not real people. Because when you look at the magazines, you're not looking at real stuff anyway.
Can I give my answer?
Sure.
Laugh instead of anything else. You look in the mirror when you're naked and you go, that's crazy.
I mean, listen.
That is insane.
You're saying that kind of tongue-in-cheek, but there's a lot of value in that. I mean, if you can get to the point, there's very few people that I know that are completely comfortable with their body and love their appearance that have, you know, cover model bodies. It's that they've worked on themselves so much that they've gotten to the point emotionally and spiritually where they can kind of become.
Where they realize that's not the most important thing.
Right. It's really not.
This was Muggs this morning.
You know, it's curious you bring that up, Kevin, because I just think of Muggs whenever I want to feel better about the way I look. All right. I know we're screwing up the whole clock, but let's take one more, and it's going to be Paul in Newport Beach, because he has a great question I think that applies to a lot of our listeners this time of year.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, how's it going? Popozao.
Wow.
Popozao.
So, callback.
So, hey, Mike, what do you think of having a binge day, even if you're on a city program and you're eating right most of the time, does one day kill it? Like
no,
for Thanksgiving.
One day doesn't kill it, but one day doesn't kill it. Certainly physically, I do have concerns about what these, you know, quote unquote cheat days or like these planned binge meals. I do have concerns about what they may do psychologically, because it's very hard to eat to the point that you actually don't feel good and then kind of get back on the horse. But if you're capable of doing that, more power to you. Because I do think there is some benefit psychologically to saying, like, I'm just going to eat pie till I'm sick. And then,
today is an exception.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Today's the way to go. If you look at, like, The Rock, who is more – he's impossibly buff. Every Sunday he puts these Instagram pictures up of, like, what he's eating on his Sunday cheat day. And it's phenomenal. It's like mountains of pancakes with fried chicken and stuff. It's just insane. But, you know, he's
like
also
epic mealtime every week.
Right, he is. He's epic mealtime. But he's The Rock. He's also very disciplined, and he can get back on it. So if you can do that, I say go for it.
There Enjoy it. Exactly. All right. Thank you very much for the call, Paul. I'm sorry we don't have time for the other calls. Ladies and gentlemen, the Psycho Body right here with our friend Mike Hadley. Happy Thanksgiving, Mike.
All right. Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 7:53. I would just like to point out that Ally McKay is in for Ralph Garman.
Yes.
And is wearing a jacket in which, let's say she was dropped right in Mammoth, at the top of Mammoth, and she had to hike back, she'd be fine. No worries whatsoever.
You're saying she's overdressed a little bit for indoors? Is that what you're suggesting, Kevin?
I'm saying either she's going snowboarding immediately after the show, or she's dressed too warmly.
Well, joke's on you. I am going snowboarding immediately after
the
show.
See?
So,
you win.
Take it back.
You win.
You guys, I want to give something away to the listeners.
Okay.
Because I care. A pair of Disneyland Deluxe Annual Passports. That's a full year of Disneyland and California Adventure Parks. I know.
The kids love it.
Who wouldn't? So you're going to call 1-800-520-1067, and let's make it caller 14. Why 14,
Why
you
14?
Ask? Because yesterday was the 14th anniversary on the day of Tom Brady's first game in the NFL. And weirdly enough, that was against the Detroit Lions, who they played yesterday. What are the chances?
I don't know how to figure the chances.
One in like 32, however many teams there are.
That's a great point. Great. I didn't think that one through. Anyway, caller 14, Disneyland, who doesn't love it? All right, you guys, we talked about the AMAs last night.
Mm-hmm.
Big deal. We got One Direction Artist of the Year. We've got Sam Smith, favorite male artist. Of course, Beyonce.
Sure.
Favorite female.
Doesn't she
R&B
have to win everything that she's up for?
All the time.
Absolutely.
Always.
Life in general, she wins at.
Yeah.
John Legend, soul, R&B, Imagine Dragons, one favorite alternative rock. But that's not what everybody's talking about.
What is everybody talking about?
They're talking about one performance in particular by a sweet young lady named Selena Gomez. She had her debut, I know, right? Could she be any more darling? She had her debut performance last night of The Heart Wants What the Heart Wants.
That's a great song, by the way.
It's a great song.
I don't know that song.
Oh, it's delightful. But then when you think about what it's about her volatile relationship with one Justin Bieber. So you're watching her do this debut performance, and at one point she paused, and she whispered, "Thank you, Jesus."
She did?
Thank you, Jesus. Yes, to herself.
Is the Lord getting her through this difficult time?
I believe getting her through that song. At the end, she was teary. They cut to her two besties in the audience, Lord and Taylor Swift.
Right. They were all
Taylor
emotional.
Taylor Swift. Emo as yes, he's
they
right.
Were. They were. Everybody That's was. Everybody in the house was crying at the Selena Gomez performance.
You guys, you should actually watch it.
Nope.
I was moved.
I was moved too, and here's why: because you don't expect a little, you know, 23-year-old or whatever she is, Pop-Tart, who's you know singing and dancing. You don't expect her to turn in such a gut-wrenching, emotional performance where it seemed like she legitimately was feeling it.
Yes.
It wasn't just acting. I mean, it was pretty emotional.
Selena! Yep. Selena!
See, Muggs knows.
Yep, that was actually...
Miss Gomez! Selena! God damn it!
That actually was what Taylor screamed right after. That, which is weird. She must listen to the
show.
That
is strange.
So we know that Ryan Reynolds is having his baby with Blake Lively, and you might say to yourself, oh no, I'm nervous about that. Is he good with babies? Don't worry.
Of course.
He doesn't have a weak stomach. Quote, I'm good with diapers, diarrhea, and all that kind of stuff. I got lots of nieces and nephews. I've done it all before.
Finally the ladies can like Ryan Gosling?
Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, Ryan Reynolds. Sorry. Okay.
Bite your tongue.
Oh, sorry. Oh, they like Ryan Reynolds too, though.
How dare you. And he also made a little joke that he's not going with any pretentious Hollywood-y type name.
Oh, but that's what celebrities are supposed to do.
Well, he said he's going to go with Excalibur Anaconda Reynolds if it's a girl.
I like it.
And if it's a boy, Bruce Jenner. Which I appreciate about Ryan Reynolds. He
Very
is a funny.
funny
man. You know, we got talking in the other room because a survey came out. Which TV wardrobe department would you most want to raid?
Oh.
Right?
That's interesting.
I know.
I bet the ladies chose Scandal.
That actually came in second.
Oh. Scandal was second.
Yes, very polished.
Because that shows all about the clothes.
Yeah, yes.
For sure.
Is it something on a regular channel or is it cable or is it
on a cable channel?
Cable,
not a premium.
South
channel.
Park.
No. Close. So close.
Okay.
Yeah. Although I say Cartman is crushing it a lot with
really
what
is.
He
is the best winter coat.
Yeah.
Is it like retro with Mad Men?
It is indeed retro with Mad Men.
Wow.
Yes. Look at me pulling it out. Yes.
Wow.
Shockingly, coming in third, I thought this was interesting. Apparently, they did the survey at a Renaissance fair. Game of Thrones. What?
Really?
I know.
Yeah, nobody watches that show and thinks I want to dress like those characters.
I don't. I watch it and I'm like, I want a big piece of turkey. Just a turkey leg. That's what I say when I watch it. Hollywood box office, you guys. Of course, The Hunger Games coming in a paltry $123 million.
Wow.
That's insane.
Number one movie. Followed very closely. Nope. At $20.1 million, Big Hero, Interstellar 3, Dumb and Dumber, fourth, rounding out the top five was Gone Girl. But, oh my gosh, The Hunger Games. You are not joking around. And, of course, the birthdays today. We'll start off with the best of all birthdays.
Okay.
Colin Hanks. He is 37.
Love him.
He loves your Los Angeles Kings.
He does.
Did you like the way I did that?
By the way, how great was he on Fargo?
He was fantastic on Fargo.
Fantastic on Fargo.
He was great when he was in Dexter.
Yep.
I like everything he's done.
I've never felt so good in my life. It feels so good. It feels so good to be alive.
Happy birthday, Calvin.
37 years he's been feeling that good. 37. Excellent stuff. Sarah Hyland, 24. You know her from Modern Family and just being darling. Stephen Merchant, 40. And everyone's favorite. I don't know what she's doing in the government. Katherine Heigl, she's 36.
Is she working?
Okay.
The secretary?
Sure. There's that. All right, I'm Allie McKay in for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat.
The truth, like a ship will carry our body safe to shore.
Double D's, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
Rudy,
the double D's, like,
we're
times two, dog. You know, like, they're D's, but they're dos. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
I kind of like, you know, I feel like, Really? You could use like a little Latin flavor for that contest, you know, like maybe have me peep through like a...
We have several contestants who are Latin.
I know, but like you need like a judge or like, you know, my perspective, because like maybe you don't comprehend like their cinnamon skin. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay. I know those hyenas, you know, like I know like...
Are you
I know
inviting
them down
yourself
to
the Miss Double December
no,
pageant?
No, like I'm like hoping that maybe you invite me because like I'll keep it real, dog. You know
you're
what I'm
invited.
Saying?
All right, Rudy, can we you're move invited. On to something else if I tell you you're invited to the pageant on December 5th at the Slide Bar?
It's clean, fool. Thanks.
Okay. And by the way, we did announce earlier this morning the top 10 finalists for Miss Double December 2015. If you want to find out, get a look at the women who are going to try to represent us for 2015, you can go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com and cast your vote. Your vote is important.
Hey, yes, Bean, I know yes. you're like, because like we have some conversations, Bean and I, like off the air. You know, that's I like ask
what are you
him,
talking
like,
about?
Because like I think he's real smart. You know what I'm saying? Or like smart up in his dome, dog.
Uh-huh.
You know, so sometimes I'll be like asking him questions, you know, about stuff like politics or like the way of the world. But like,
what are you talking about?
Was Star Wars filmed in space?
That's the kind of stuff
yes, it
you
was,
guys
Rudy.
Talk about.
No, because like
that is accurate. Yes, it was.
Listen, dog, I got a new job at Caltrans. You know, they got me out in Pasadena, dog, like a JPL. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? Oh, sweeping up the freeways and like mopping up stuff. Right. And I heard these vatos talking about how like that you can't hear nothing in space, like because there's no atmosphere,
right.
So there's no sound.
Right.
But then like when they blow up the Death Star, it's like boom, dog. And then like Luke Skywalker's like, hey, Han Solo, what's up, dog? And he's like, oh, so like, but they can hear each other, but it's supposed to be space. So I'm like,
that's just
my
that's
brain
a movie. That's
like,
just a movie. They're just they do that for our benefit so that we the viewer can watch that. Oh. But listen, Rudy, since you're here, I'm glad you're here because I wanted to ask you this question because we haven't had a chance to talk about this very much. But
all right, dog.
A few nights ago, President Obama made an address to the nation about his plan to move forward on illegal immigration. And the problem in this country
was
there being no path to citizenship.
What? What's illegal immigration?
Illegal immigration, talking about the people who have come into the United States illegally. They haven't filled out the proper paperwork. They're not counted.
Paperwork.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there is a process that you're supposed
process,
to go through to come into the United States.
So what the
I went through a process, dog. I remember, like, legal paperwork. Mas puto. Listen, I got like a... You know how I got here, dog?
How'd you get here?
Like, my dad, he's like, hey, Rudy, come here, fool. And I was like, I was a little baby, you know? And he's like, put down your joint. And I was like, okay, dog. So, like, I came over here and I'm like, he's like, hey, dog, take this Bacardi. He put it in, like, a plastic bag, you know? He put his Bacardi in there because there's no metal detector. So when you go to Dodger Stadium or something, they can't feel it. So he put it in my diaper, dog.
Okay.
And then he put a little chronic in the back of my diaper.
Right.
And then we got in a catapult. And then we held on. I was like,
had him posted into America?
Yeah, I landed in San Diego. I'm like, oh, this is clean, dog.
So basically what the president is saying is look, for people who have been in America for some amount of time and they have children who were born in America and they don't have criminal records, we'd like them to step forward into the light and not worry about being deported and let those people work legally and let those people apply to be citizens. That's what he's saying. And it's caused quite a firestorm for people who are saying those people came here illegally, they broke the law, and they're jumping the line in front of people who are trying to get here legally. And I was just wondering, what's the reaction like in the community, Rudy?
Oh, I mean, like, the reaction seems to be pretty crazy, you know what I'm saying? Like, people are all topsy-turvy, but like, a lot of it got washed away because the Raiders won yesterday. So, like, no one cared about nothing after that. You know, people were, like, going bonkers. The eyes are all bonkers, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like if you live here and you have a job,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Like, which is crazy.
If you live
like,
here and you have a job.
No, like having a job for real, though.
Right.
Like, you know, because, like, I oftentimes, you know, I'm between jobs. You know what
almost
I'm saying? Like,
all the time.
Yeah. That's right. But, like, I'm always hustling. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But, like, if you live here and, like, you're employed, I mean, like, why would you want to go home? Because there's white people all over that need you to do work for them. So, like... What are they going to do? Send you back?
Well, the truth is, it sounds like you're joking, Rudy, but the truth is, and the president made this mention, you can't deport 11 million people. First of all, literally, it's impossible to round up that many people and send them away.
No,
and,
you
and
could.
Second of all,
you could. I think I got that many people in my Nova once. It's 11 million. We went to the Dodger game. They're playing
and second
giant.
Of all, wouldn't the economy just collapse if you took 11 million workers out of the economy?
It would
just
First of all, every pair, like, what are all the families in Beverly Hills going to do? They'll have to actually take care of their kids. Okay. Like that. That sounds crazy, dog. Also, what would Home Depot do? Like, they would lose out on so much money from, like, selling sodas and Gatorade to the guys in the parking lot. You know what
I'm
saying?
That's a good point.
And if you're listening, if you're in Mexico, that's a good point. Another good point, like, if you want to get in here, because, like, I feel like my dad's catapult, they got caught. You know what I'm saying? I feel like they found it.
So they shut that down?
Yeah. You should get on, like, the back of a car, like a flatbed.
Okay.
And then make it up to look like a Home Depot and to stand in front and move slowly across the border and just tell them you're afloat. Like in like one, a parade, especially.
Now wait a minute, Rudy. You think if you tell the crossing guards,
it's so funny
that it's
they're
a
not
float.
Crossing guards, puto. Crossing guards stand out in front of an elementary school.
Border agents, whatever.
Well, yeah, you could cross.
Then
you could cross.
Float.
It's safe. Go ahead, come across the street.
But I'm saying,
you're at Magnolia Boulevard in Burbank. I'm a crossing guard.
If you say it's a float, they won't think twice. They'll just let you in.
Nah, they just let you go. Or like drive a Subaru. Because no Mexican's ever driven a Subaru ever in the history of the world. So, like, if you get in there, it'll be like, oh, I like Pilates.
Excuse me for just one second. Bean, you have these conversations with Rudy all the time?
Yeah, I don't follow most of them very well. I just nod a lot. All right, so Rudy, so we're happy with the direction that the president is trying to go, even though obviously there's an awful lot of opposition, people who say it's just not fair and not possible, right?
No, it's crazy, not fair. It's not right. You know what I'm saying? Say it loud, say it proud. I'm brown and I'm down. And you know what I'm saying? Like, go.
No, I don't understand what you're saying.
Hey, who do you think will win in a fight, dog? Machete or George Lopez?
I mean, Machete's okay. Easy.
Hey, you think Eva Mendes smells good, dog?
Okay, yes, I do. Okay, all right. We might be a little off target here.
All right, dog. All right. Listen, you
thanks
know, the other night
in, Rudy.
I was getting blazed. And I was like, oh, you know, I was in my grandma's garage. And
right.
She came out. And we were just like peeping game, you know, watching a little bit of like Chico and the Man. And like I was blazing. And I looked over. And I'm like, damn, I think grandma's dead, you know, because my chronic is really. So I was like, damn, what do I do? So I put D-Lokes on her. I put the shades on. And then I carried her around East Los, like Weekend at Bernie's. And like, and she's alive, though. So everybody Wang Chung tonight.
And to you as well, Rudy.
Andrew Siciliano, host of Around the NFL on the NFL Network at 3, weekday afternoons, and DirecTV's Red Zone channel on Sunday. How are you, sir?
Good morning, guys.
How's the no urination during the Red Zone streak? What number are we up to now?
Let's see. What is this? This is week 12. Mm-hmm. I've not gone since week 3.
Okay.
I have started Monday through Saturdays.
But not during
the show on Sunday. It's been since week 3. I'm a little troubled by Beans.
Thrilled
that you guys know.
Beans' obsessive questioning about your pee habits.
Impressive. Because I can't last 1 hour on this show without peeing.
Right.
I don't know how you do 7 in a row without peeing.
It's all in your head.
It's in our bladder.
It's really all in your head.
I'm with the girl. It's in your bladder.
First of all, there is. You don't even. I don't think about it during the early games.
Right.
Between the 10 a.m. games, the 10 to 1 games, there's usually. Well, yesterday we had 7. We've had as many as 11.
Kevin, have you ever gone 3 hours watching football without having to pee? Ever?
Yeah, I think so.
Really?
Yeah. Who has to?
If you're on your couch drinking beer watching the game, or even if you're drinking coffee watching the game, you're relaxed. You have a bathroom 50 feet away. You're talking with your friends. It's a different focus.
Okay. All right. So you're just in the game mode. I gotcha.
I will say that the late games are hard.
Late games are difficult.
The late games are really, really hard.
You got your legs crossed into the desk.
You're holding it, so to speak.
All right, let's talk about week 12. There are only two things I really want to talk about, but the first one is a young man by the name of Odell Beckham.
Yes.
And we got to talk about this. Was it perhaps the greatest catch in NFL history, Andrew Siciliano?
But you guys are the fans. I want to know what you think. Do you think it was the greatest catch you have ever seen in your life?
I think it was a trick catch, and it was either photoshopped or he had glue on his glove, or it was some
you didn't
sort
see
of
it
camera
live.
Trick. I did see it live.
Okay.
It's the greatest catch I've ever seen in my life, if it's real.
It's the greatest catch I have ever seen, with one exception. The David Tyree catch, also for the New York Giants, in Glendale, in Arizona, in the building in which Kevin's Cardinals may play in the Super Bowl. where he caught the ball pinned to his helmet while being wrestled to the ground by NBC's Rodney Harrison after Eli Manning had run around in circles in the backfield, seemingly about to get sacked and lose the game, and the Patriots would win the Super Bowl. Considering the significance of that moment and the fact that falling backwards, he pinned it to his helmet with one hand, I think that's the greatest of all time. But in terms of sheer athletic, good Lord, call the neighbors, wake the kids, break the internet. I mean, that's the last night was the best I've ever seen in that moment.
I've not heard of him. Is that
who, David Tyree?
Yeah.
He went to Syracuse.
No, Odell Beckham.
Odell Beckham.
Yeah, he's first round pick of the Giants this year. He missed the first 2 months. He had a hamstring injury.
Oh, okay.
People made fun of him because, why can't you play? Because we kept hearing, he's a week away, week away. Then he was 2 months away. And then he finally got on the field in the last couple of weeks. He's done things. I mean, he looks like it's like a comic book superhero with the catches he's making where his arm extends out 15 feet.
And he makes these catches all the time.
Yeah.
That's what's
it's
crazy.
Absurd.
I saw a tape of him last night going all the way back to college. He caught a kickoff return in the end zone with one hand in college.
NBC hit a homer last night, to use another bad sports analogy. Yeah. NBC, about 3 minutes before he made that catch, he made another nice catch, but pedestrian in comparison, and they showed a montage. They had a camera on him from the pregame where he specifically goes out and practices one-handed catches in the pregame. So they had a cut-up of like 7 really, really good catches, but then nothing compared to what he did there again.
I have the call from the booth, by the way, and you'll hear the amazement. I don't think they realized when it first happened in real time how spectacular it was. And then on the replay, you can hear practically their jaws drop.
And Manning's going to heave one. There's a flag. Beckham, a one-handed catch. How in the world?
Oh, my goodness.
And Brandon Carr was back there. I mean, he is insane. How do you make that catch?
My goodness, this is sick. Put this to music. I don't think he stepped out either. That may be the greatest catch I've ever seen.
Number 39.
Everybody knows who ODB is now, don't they, Andrew?
So we are calling him ODB. A lot of us call him the ODB, Odell Beckham Jr. I think he might go by OBJ, Odell Beckham Jr., but he will officially now be a member of the Wu-Tang until further notice. He is absolutely, because the Wu-Tang has like 18 guys now,
right? He's going to know.
Some of them are alive, and he is officially in the Wu-Tang.
But it wasn't enough for them to win the game, though.
No, they lost, and they're not good.
Oh,
and the Cowboys won. They pulled it out of the fire again.
All right. We got to take a break. Andrew Siciliano is here. He is the host of Around the NFL, weekday afternoons at 3 on the NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone channel on DirecTV on Sundays. Much more to discuss with our guests right after the Sun Camera. Andrew Siciliano joins us every Monday when he can here on the Kevin and Bean Show to talk NFL. He, of course, from the NFL Network and the DirecTV Red Zone channel and the latest Cosby accuser, curiously.
Which
a surprise.
Watch it now.
I didn't hear that.
So this was the battle of the NFC West, with the 9-1 Arizona Cardinals coming into Seattle to play the Seahawks. It was kind of a must-win game for my Seahawks, Andrew. And didn't you detect a little bit of the 2013 Seahawks swagger in that team yesterday?
I did. I also detected a little bit of, we cannot protect Russell Wilson. He had to run around in circles, and what, he was sacked 7 times.
Yes,
if he was
7 times.
A more sedentary quarterback who just stood there. It could have been 15 times. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but he was running for his life. Yet they won because their defense was good, and the other team had Drew Stanton at quarterback. And I want to praise your Seahawks all we can. Yes, it was desperation time for them, but I think that you have to walk out of there and look at, sorry, Kevin, your Cardinals, and say, how good are they really going to be now with Drew Stanton at quarterback?
You go into Seattle, and you know they're weak. So you go, how's it gonna hurt? We're 9-1.
Rope-a-dope. Set them up for later.
Right. And by the way, in Kevin's defense, and I was very impressed with the Cardinals, and their defense really did impress me, they also didn't have Larry Fitzgerald, too.
They did not.
That made a big difference, I think.
Yes, and the fact is, they're the only team that won up there in Seattle last year.
Right.
And so they
But you can't put 3 points on the board total and beat anyone.
You can't drop a touchdown pass right before the half either if you're Jerron Brown. You saw that, right?
I didn't.
That was unbelievable. Right in the stomach.
Right in the stomach. Number 13, Jerron Brown, who's a rookie. He has that some guys have this itis where you have to jump for every pass even though it's right in your belly. Now, at my height, I do have to jump for every pass when I played as a kid. and not well, granted. He has the jump for every pass itis, and he jumped, and it still hit him right in the belly, and he still dropped it.
You know what was cool, though, when they pointed this out, and I know you don't hear a lot of the play-by-play of the game, Andrew, when you're watching him on Red Zone, but the coach for Arizona was very welcoming to that player when he got over to the sidelines. And the other players were too. Rather than like shoot him the evil eyes of death, you idiot, how did you drop a ball? They were all very like, hey, no big deal, man. It's cool. You're all right. It was cool to see how positive they were toward that error rather than, because they knew he still had a lot of football to play that day.
And that's Bruce Arians. He is hands down the coolest coach.
Very impressive, though.
He's in his 60s. He wears a Kango.
He does. He's a weird guy.
He curses on the podium, but does it in a fun way. He was told, I think, the Friday before Halloween, or Halloween was a Friday, whatever it was, hey, a bunch of people are dressing like you in Phoenix. What do they need? He said, they need a cocktail and some swagger. That's what they need. He is cooler than cool.
Well, he's doing a great job with the Cardinals. I was really impressed.
And by the way, for an NFL player to drop a pass in the end zone that's in his stomach, especially a first-year player, he's probably going to be hard enough on himself.
Yes.
I'm not sure.
You don't need to tell him he sucks.
He'll get chewed out during the week.
Yeah,
Bruce Arians is the guy that behind closed doors will rip him up and down. But on the sideline, he'll buy him a cocktail.
Now, what other note from the Seattle-Arizona game, and that is Marshawn Lynch was forced. Well, he wasn't forced to. I guess he could have taken another $50,000 fine, but he decided to talk to the media. Give our listeners the setup for this audio I'm about to play, Andrew.
All right, Marshawn Lynch doesn't like to talk to the media. Marshawn Lynch also, I believe, much like the ODB for the Giants, is in the Wu-Tang Clan. Right?
Okay, good.
I mean,
good.
So he doesn't like to talk to the media. There are rules that you must talk to the media after the game.
That's an NFL rule that they will fine you for. Why they have to. Okay.
You don't need to recite poetry. You don't need to give 10-minute answers, but you need to at least make yourself available.
You have to show up.
Yes, and he doesn't do it. He's been warned repeatedly, and he's been fined repeatedly, including last week. He was fined as a repeat offender $100,000 for not talking to the media. It was a 50 grand fine they had held from last year and said, we'll give it back in good time if you don't do it again. And then he did it again and said, give us 50 more. So this is what he did after the game yesterday.
All right, how about the effort of the offensive line to keep pushing against a defense that attacks so aggressively?
Yeah.
How does that defense compare to others that you've seen this year?
Yeah.
And Marshall, you were on the sidelines for a little bit there. What was going on? Was the back all right? Obviously, you got back in there.
Yeah.
How important was it to keep the ball on the ground and run out the clock, especially in the fourth quarter when you know this team is so good in the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
So it just goes on and on like that.
At one point, though, he did read an upcoming event from his calendar, some charity event that he was doing in a couple of weeks. He did give him that, at least.
And if you could get the visual, right? So he's got the gold grill.
Uh-huh.
And he's got on, like, a hunter's cap, like, with the ear flaps, like he's going to be out in the woods chasing rabbits.
It's full-on comedy look.
Yeah, it is. It looks like an SNL bit, funny.
Do you guys think, because I did watch this particular press conference, do you guys think that the reporters just wanted to keep asking him questions because they knew what he was doing right there was gold?
I don't know what that woman was doing.
Because
I don't know
she kept firing question after question after question.
And I don't like to be the media critic here, but some of them are, hey, how about the defense? He's not going to answer that. I mean,
no, he's not.
No, but I wanted somebody in front of him to ask questions for the rest of time.
Yes.
Because of his
answers. Just keep going and going.
Even if they're related.
And going.
What's the best football game you've ever seen? Anything. I don't care. I just want to hear his response.
All right, let's just hit out a couple games, Andrew, on our remaining moments. Why was it so difficult for the Broncos to beat the Dolphins?
Dolphins are pretty good.
I can't accept that. I'm sorry.
They're pretty good.
Hold on. But seriously.
All right.
Did the Broncos only put in second stringers or something yesterday?
No.
What happened?
Well, they didn't have Julius Thomas, right? They didn't have their tight end. He was out. Emmanuel Sanders played well. He was banged up. They're decimated in the backfield, but still C.J. Anderson had a good game. The Denver team is showing signs of attrition here, but Miami's got a defense. Miami's legit, and Denver doesn't seem unbeatable anymore. Let's just put it that way. In any way at all. And
they were everybody's Super Bowl pick, Denver, as a result of the last few weeks.
But I think most people now are looking east to Foxborough. Did you guys – so the Patriots scored with like 2 minutes to go, and they don't say they ran it up, but they didn't take a knee yesterday. Uh-huh. So you had a Lions player dive at the knees of a Patriots player. Then after the game said, yes, I did it on purpose because they shouldn't have scored again. I mean, he flat out – Dominic Raiola, who's like a 12-year veteran – came out afterwards and said, yes, I did it on purpose. I dove at that dude's knees because they shouldn't have tried to score again. So he's going to get fined.
Yeah, no kidding. Today. And should get fined for that. Let's talk a little bit about the dumpster fire, as the AFC South is being referred to.
NFC South.
NFC South, sorry. And Mike Smith's clock management at the end of that game.
Mike Smith, Falcons coach, who's probably now, he's the nicest man in the world. And he's probably now getting fired.
right now, this moment?
But. Just let me tell you this. Yes, he mismanaged the clock. Yes, he gave the Browns 55 seconds left and three timeouts and 44 seconds, far too much time. And yes, it bit him in the butt. And yes, his team is 4-7 today. However, if the Ravens beat the Saints tonight, which I don't think is likely, but certainly is a possibility, they have the better record.
Right.
The Falcons are back in first at 4-7.
How can any team that's 4-7 be in first place?
That's the dumpster fire.
Wow.
That is the NFC South. And I'll tell you, they're going to win. Someone's going to win that division, likely below 500. And because division winners get home games, you're going to have a wild card team like the Lions maybe, or like the Eagles or the Cowboys, whichever one doesn't win the division, have to go to New Orleans or maybe even to Atlanta in a playoff game at 11-5 or 12-4 as the road team against like a 7-9 team.
Wow. Well, you tweeted yesterday that division was what, 6-22-1 against
like
the
that.
Rest of the NFL, which is just the only teams they can beat are the teams that are bad enough to play in their division.
Well, the Falcons are 4-0 in their division. They're 0-7 against the rest of the National Football League. If the Ravens win tonight, the AFC North has 28 combined wins. All four teams will have 7 wins, which is remarkable. And if the Ravens win tonight, that means the NFC South, I believe, will have like 13 or 14 wins.
Total,
among four teams.
That's amazing. All right, we're out of time, so we got two Monday night games tonight and then three on Thursday, is that right?
Three on Thursday and three amazing games on Thursday, including Cowboys-Eagles, first time they meet this year. That game's in Dallas. And the Niners and Seahawks.
Yeah.
So
they
just beat the snot out of their respective opponents yesterday, and now they have to go do it on Thursday. Happy Thanksgiving.
Is that a huge, huge deal for teams, the Thursday play?
Absolutely. Well, it's Thursday during the season, many will say it's a bit of an annoyance and they don't like it, but they get a mini bye afterwards. They get a long weekend and then another week.
Sure.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there's a benefit. If you could survive it and win it, it's beautiful. Thanksgiving, it's a pain, but most teams will tell you they love playing on Thanksgiving because all of America is watching, not just the Monday night crowd.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone in every home is watching those three games.
Good stuff, Andrew. Pleasure to see you again, sir. Thanks for coming in.
Anytime, guys.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:54. There's a bus company in the United Kingdom that has figured out a way to run its buses not on gasoline, not on electricity, but on human poop. We're going to get to the bottom of that coming up right after the top of the hour. Plus, if you want to win tickets for night number one of the sold-out 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, stand by. Your chance to call in is coming up as well. First, though, in for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat, here's Ally McKay.
He said we'll get to the bottom of that.
He did. That was not intentional. See what he did?
I liked it. Guys, breaking news.
Breaking news.
Everybody wants to see the trailer of the new Star Wars movie, The Force Awakens. There's been all this talk, when will they release it online? When's it going to happen? Well, guess what?
What? Is it online?
Nope.
Okay.
Not even a little bit. But it will premiere this weekend. Where, you might ask? I know, it's so exciting. It will premiere at 9 of Regal venues in the U.S. That's where you go and see movies, Regal Theaters. And you might be saying to yourself, where's that?
Yeah.
Where would I find one? Well, Irvine's the closest. That's at Edwards Irvine Spectrum, 22 and IMAX.
Ahead of a particular movie?
Any movie.
Oh, interesting.
Any movie.
movie. But you are able to see the trailer.
But 1 minute after the first screening in any theater in America, it's going to be up online anyway,
absolutely.
Right?
So I would wait until Friday afternoon is what I would do. Or you can go to San Diego, Atlanta, Chicago, New York, Warrington, Pennsylvania, Knoxville, Tennessee, Houston, or Seattle, Regal Thornton Place Stadium. I think you love that place most. No? Who's going to the... what?
I want to see the trailer a
lot.
But you're not going to go out of your way to a different theater.
Not going to go to Irvine.
Yeah. You're not going to drive
not
far.
To Irvine, yeah.
I just thought that was such a weird way of going about it, but... I
hope these movies are going to be good, obviously. That goes without saying. We all hope they're going to be good. But I wonder if we're just going to pretend that the three movies in the middle just didn't happen. Is that ultimately what we're going to end up doing?
Well, we should. I already do. Is that a problem?
J.J. Abrams, he seems like he's going to...
I think he knows what he's doing.
I do,
true.
Too.
I think he knows what he's doing. Speaking of knowing what they're doing, not the NFL, by not naming Weird Al as the halftime entertainment...
Hell yeah.
Right, exactly. Now, it was always rumored Katy Perry was going to do it, but they didn't make it official until the Cowboys-Giants game yesterday. Katy Perry headlining the halftime entertainment at the Super Bowl.
I hope she still does fat and white and nerdy.
She most likely will.
She looks so much better than Weird Al, though, right?
And not only that, let's think about, I think Katy would wear next to nothing regardless.
Right.
But Arizona... It's warm. Katy.
But the NFL is going to be... Look, the NFL will never forget about what happened with Janet Jackson. And they're always going to be on top of wardrobe malfunctions.
They're
going to
run around after her with towels and blankets.
I mean, we already suffered through all the years of having 70-year-old white men do the show to avoid problems like that. You know, we went through the Springsteen and the Rolling Stones and the Tom Petty years to get back to hotness on the halftime show. But they're still not going to let any boobies fly. They're just not.
Especially with the viewership from last year's Super Bowl halftime show. Bruno Mars, of course, with a little Chili Peppers mixed in. 115 million viewers.
Wow, that's
for the
insane.
Halftime show. So that'll just open up a whole new group that can see this new performer, Katy Perry.
That they'd never heard of?
Never heard of her. Who is she? Well, speaking of Katy Perry, she has been in Australia. Paparazzi trying to take pictures of her in a bikini.
Right.
And she says, no, no, you perverts. You will not take pictures of me in my bikini. And they're saying to her, hey, let's cut a deal. We'll leave you alone if you just let us have one bikini pic. So what has she done? She has publicly shamed them by posting their pictures, which I can't imagine bothers them at all.
No.
That's weird.
So here's the guy in Australia that was trying to take pictures of me. Bet he won't do it again. Are you kidding? He's like, retweet, retweet. That's me. So weird. Such a weird
It must be miserable to be somebody like Katy Perry who has her picture taken everywhere she goes
Tell me about it.
I mean,
exhausting.
How would you feel? And I know you're not in the same situation as Katy Perry.
How dare
But if you had some fan or some paparazzi of yours who was taking pictures of you while you're on the beach with your family trying to enjoy your vacation, you would hate it.
It would stink, but it's all part of the journey, really, if you will. The journey of stardom. I once had a guy tell me, hey, you look like a 14-year-old boy, when I didn't have makeup on. So I know the demands of stardom. Yeah.
That's painful.
I will not be in Miss Double D, is essentially what I'm trying to tell you. Not like you were wondering. Hey, the cast of Disney's Pirates of the Caribbean. Do you say Caribbean or Caribbean?
It seems like either.
Caribbean, but then when I talk about the movie, I say Caribbean.
Me too. And when you talk about the ride, I also say Caribbean.
Yeah, because we grew up that way. People changed it.
How do you say it with the song, Caribbean Queen?
I say Caribbean.
All right.
I don't say it. I sing it. Right? That's Billy Ocean, no?
Yep. It is, yeah.
I love him. Get out of my dreams, get into my car.
Nobody loves
no?
him.
No? Okay. Moving on. Dead Men Tell No Tales. Of course, coming together, Johnny Depp, obviously, Captain Jack Sparrow, Jeffrey Rush playing Barbossa, and Javier Bardem. Final talks to be the movie's villain. He would be a ghost captain who blames Sparrow for the death of his brother.
Right?
You guys, a ghost captain.
That's scary.
Right? Spooky.
And then at any point, if he says, "You killed my brother, prepare to die," I would love it. And wow, that's a Princess Bride callback that yep. no one needed. No one needed.
You enjoyed it, though.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
It's nice.
Birthdays. Stephen Merchant, he is 40 years old today. I still question that, but that's just me. Katherine Heigl, 36. Sarah Hyland, Modern Family, 24. And the beloved Kings fan, a man among men.
What? That's how it goes.
I think that's how it goes.
I think it is.
Wow, stick to old-timey callbacks, Allie. Colin Hanks, 37 years old. I'm Allie McCann for Ralph Garman. Showbiz Beat.
Wait, stop. Stop. Hold on. Wait. Alto. Wait. Stop.
No one's doing anything.
I am being told that Miss Double December 2013 Lux is in the building. Why is she not in the studio?
I don't know.
Well, we're just going to wait until she gets in here then.
It's not a before and after shot with me and Lux. Calm down.
Why is Lux not on the air with us right now?
Lux.
There she is, ladies and gentlemen. Finally, things are going right. Oh, she's kissing Lisa. Hi, Lux.
Hi.
Have you met Allie?
Yes, yes. We actually were bonding. We were bonding over Jason Statham.
Sure.
I don't know where to go with that.
No, I think you do.
We can't contribute to that. How are you, my dear? Why are you here? You heard Marie Callender's brought free pie today. Is that why you're here?
Yes, I'm already digging it.
What's going on?
It's my cheat day again.
What are you up to?
Nothing. I'm actually just running a bunch of errands, but I have missed you guys, and I've been meaning to stop in. Dave said that this was a third time's a charm, because last week a couple things, you know, happened that kept me from coming here.
Ah,
well, good. Well, I don't know if it's a coincidence or not, but this morning at 7 o'clock, we unveiled the finalists for Miss Double December 2015 at KROQ.com.
Yes, it's a very happy coincidence. Congratulations to the ladies that made it. All of them are looking very hot.
Have you perused yet?
I did, and I actually caught a couple of my girlfriends on there.
Is that
really?
Yes. What a surprise.
Yes.
Lux knows everybody that's hot. That's
it is weird. Why do hot chicks all know other hot chicks? That is weird.
Well, you know, honestly, if you there shouldn't be competition among, you know, successful, smart, beautiful women. We should always empower each other. And I'm super excited for my girlfriends. And actually, a couple of them had called me before asking me, well, should I go in? Should I do it? And I said, of course, do it. I had an amazing time as Miss Double December. I'm still having an amazing time. And I made so many good friends and got to meet a lot of great people. So, of course, people should always enter and try to make a go for it. I'm interested in seeing some of these talents.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
I have two.
Yes. I caught a couple that I was like, ooh, how does that one work?
Let me ask you this, Lux, and then I promise, Allie, we're going to leave you some time for showbiz here, but look at her. I mean,
I don't blame you.
Let me ask you this, because the entries are all up on the website. The top 10 finalists are up there. So now we're in the voting process where the Kevin Bean listeners or K-Rock fans can go and they can cast your vote who they like. Did you have a strategy? Like, did you have some sort of get out the vote the year that you wanted to be Miss Double D to try to get more votes? And if so, what do you recommend the girls do who might be listening?
Well, honestly, I actually just had a lot of really good people that kept on sharing my link. So on Facebook, especially on Twitter and on Instagram, a lot of people just helped me, you know, by promoting that I was on there. Please vote once a day. Really, that's the best way to do it. And what the recommendation that I would give to the girls is, you know, I mean, everybody wants to see your sexy photos, make funny videos. I mean, honestly, if you can show them beyond what they can see on the website, that would be a way for everybody to get to know you better.
That's smart.
And of course, show us your boobs.
And show us your boobs.
Show us your rack. The one rack to rule them all.
So share that link, ladies. Get out there and get as many votes as you can between now and next week then at KROQ.com. And everybody else, if you have not yet familiarized yourself with the top 10 finalists from Miss Double December 2015, you should go and do that. And don't forget, a week from Friday, we're going to be down in Fullerton at the Slide Bar doing the live pageant broadcast. And Lux, I know you'll never forget how cold you were being in a bikini at 6 a.m.
Oh, my gosh. It was my favorite part of the competition. What are you talking about?
That's strange. Us too.
I'm so happy you came in, Lux. Great to see you again.
Always great to see you guys.
Seriously. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
All right, Allie, whatever you got, go ahead.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
how quick the tide turns.
Whoa. Welcome to my life.
Right? You want to mention that I'm barren again, like Lisa?
This is funny. Tell us the story of the first time Bean ever met you.
First time I came in here, okay. He said, oh, hey, Allie, how you doing? How are things? Do you have kids? I said, no, no kids. Oh, you barren like Lisa? Hey, how's everyone? Good morning.
That was Bean's opening.
That was the opener. And he was right. But
he didn't know it.
But he didn't know that. Right. But it still hurts, Lisa.
I'm not good with the ladies, Allie. I'm sorry. I'm just not.
It's fine. Let's talk some Forbes highest earning celebs under 30, shall we?
Ah, please.
In case I wasn't feeling bad enough about my barren self. These people are still fertile. Good times. There was only one actress, by the way, that made this list. The rest, musicians. The only actress, seventh. Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. That makes sense. Sure,
all right. Yeah. Let's go 5 to 1.
All right.
Rihanna, 48 million. And you're saying 48 million in what time frame? 1 year. 1 year.
Yeah, that's not a lifetime.
No,
that's not a
that
career
a
total. That's a year.
12-month span that they
and she'll make it again next
list.
Year.
At least. God. Absolutely.
Wow.
Bruno Mars coming in at number 4 with 60 million.
Now, are you counting him as a woman? Because I might.
Wow.
Aw.
Wow. Poor Bruno.
I love Bruno Mars.
He's a favorite in the Philippines.
Is he?
Which, right there, Bean, how dare you?
I don't know. Yes. I don't know what to do with that information.
Dare you upset our Filipino
good information, though, Lux.
He's a favorite in the Philippines.
Yes, he's a favorite in the Philippines. Okay.
All right, that's 4.
Okay. Number 3.
Yes.
Bean's special lady.
Taylor Swift.
Oh. 60. Yeah. Kids love her, too. Filipino kids? Do we know? Taylor Swift?
They hate her.
I think
her.
Taylor
they
is everywhere.
Oh,
they
hate her. I didn't have that here.
Care for her.
$75 million. One Direction. Oh, I'm sorry. One Direction coming in at $75 million. Taylor, a paltry 64. My bad.
Okay.
So One Direction, $75 million. Number one.
Who is it? Now, this is under 30, you said?
Under 30.
And it's another musician under 30 who's making that kind
is
of
Beyonce?
Money. Wow, more than Taylor Swift. Yeah, Beyonce. Great guess, Kevin.
Bieber.
Lux with the win.
Wow.
What?
Justin Lux made
it. How is that possible?
I thought
possible?
You were saying Lux was the...
Lux has made Lux. $80 million in a year. Yet she still finds time to come in here, which I find delightful.
Stupid.
$80 million. And again, that's a 12-month span.
But his records, nobody's buying his records anymore. What's it all from? Does he do a bunch of endorsements?
Must.
Isn't he not even 21 yet?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I think he's around there, somewhere around there, yeah. But he's definitely under 30, definitely makes the list. But that's still a shocking amount. How can Justin Bieber have made more money than Taylor Swift, who had the biggest tour of the year and has all those merchandising deals
easy.
And everything else?
No, calm down.
What's
dude.
Up with you?
I'm just shocked by this information.
All right, Bean, you know how you respond to the Justin Bieber thing?
How?
That's how the rest of us respond to Taylor Swift.
I know, but they're wrong.
That's gotta hurt. I mean,
that does
Justin
hurt.
Bieber. Yeah. So Justin Bieber is the richest woman under 30.
Correct.
Yes. Awesome. Yes.
That is accurate.
That
good
is
point.
What yes. he is. Even with all the lawsuits and whatnot.
I know.
And the
you feel
egging?
Like he doesn't and perform anymore. He's just being an ass.
I don't know. Right?
If we could be rich too in that, I mean, hello. Okay. Hey, you guys. The 30th anniversary Band-Aid single, Do They Know It's Christmas? What do you think of the new version?
I haven't heard the whole thing. I've only heard a clip.
I think it's boring.
I'm a fan of the original. I don't think you needed to even do another one, but it's great that they do because they raise a ton of money. It is now the fastest-selling single in the UK for the year 2014, selling 312,000 copies since it was released last Monday, making $1.5 million for Ebola. Not for Ebola.
I was going
to
say, they're
raising for Ebola.
For Ebola?
It. Woo. You want Ebola? Listen to this single. It's essentially what's happening.
Did they do anything different with it? I mean, did they change?
They changed some of the lyrics.
They changed some of the lyrics. Which is sad because I personally love Do They Know It's Christmas at all?
Well, that part still, they still kept that part, Ellie.
Right.
But they got rid of the. Thank God it's them instead of us, or whatever
which
that line was.
Which I agree with Ralph on that. Why would you change that? Thank God.
I think there was a lot of pushback on that lyric
nope,
from Bono.
I'm with Ralph.
Yeah, because really, I would rather someone else.
Well, I mean...
than us. Do I need to sing it? Maybe not. Moving on.
But, hey, guys. But you're fine thinking it.
Okay. Right. I just won't mention it into a microphone. Mm-hmm. Hey, you guys, did you like Queen Latifah's first season?
I'm meaning to watch that. I'm looking forward to seeing the rest of the episodes from here on out, though.
You might want to just go back and watch those, because there are reports that production of season 2 has been halted immediately. Not just... Yeah. Right, sad trombone? Not just a few more episodes we'll get through. No, immediately. You guys, sorry about that. Yeah.
Well, you know that thing where you're doing a TV show? Stop it immediately.
Stop it. Wrap up whatever you're doing. Yeah. Take that ramen out of your drawer and head home. Because that's what you have when you work on a TV show. You have top ramen because you don't have time to eat.
Ah.
I made microwavable Kraft macaroni and cheese the other night.
Great. She cooks, awesome. Too. She cooks, too, you guys. Wonderful. Hi. I'm Lux. I'm super hot and I cook. Great.
Only a hot chick could get away with that story.
Right? It's only 1 minute.
And she does it quickly. Great, everyone. Lux. So bummed.
Lux, what time are you going to be here tomorrow morning to do showbiz for us?
Poor traffic. Come on.
You're trying to get traffic. Me strangled in the back after we bond over Jason Statham.
Mm. Right? Why are you trying to pit us against each other, Bean?
Don't let him do it.
That's how he works.
Just trying to make some upgrades on the show, that's all.
Again, ow. That's not nice.
You know, it's getting really cold in here. I think I'm going to have to go back into the other room. It was nice to see you guys. Love you.
That's my favorite part.
Come on.
Way to go, Bean.
All right, let's wrap this nonsense up.
That's your favorite. Wow. Hey, everybody. If you loved The X Factor before it was, canceled after 3 seasons, don't worry. Rumors that Simon Cowell's X Factor is actually coming back, even though the 3rd season finale was down a third from the 2nd season. What?
That's weird.
I don't understand anything anymore. But then again, I'm barren, I don't cook, and my rack is tiny. Yeah. Who cares, Allie? Wow, way to wrap it up with that. Some celebrity birthdays. Colin Hanks is 37. Sarah Hyland, adorable, and 24. Katherine Heigl, 36. And Stephen Merchant is 40. I'm Allie McKay with my last ever show.
Thank you, Allie.
Thank you, Allie.
Thank you, Lux.
Thank you, guys. I love you, Allie.
I love you, Lux.
And we love Jason Statham.
Suck it, Bean.
All right. Tomorrow morning, we have comedian Jimmy Pardo on the program. From the Anaheim Ducks, Ryan Getzlaff. We have a new Thanksgiving song.
By who? It sounds like we're starting to get a little tease as to who this song was by.
We have Christian Serratos, who plays Rosita on The Walking Dead in studio. And we have your tickets for the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas tomorrow morning.